This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the Worldwide Wave.
This is Worldwide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are still, yes, spread out across Melbourne as we bring you the stories from the world for the final time this year. And the Worldwide Wave team tonight is the slimmed down version. Good evening, Paul.
Good evening. We've saved the best to last, haven't we, Matt?
Absolutely.
Now, how often have you heard about members of the LGBTI community who have been bullied at school or feel unable to be their true selves around family and friends? Now, when you're also living in a very small town with little options and no positive LGBTI role models, this could take some people to some very dark places. However, tonight we're talking to someone who went through those challenges and came out fighting. In fact, he came out a hell of a lot stronger.
Chris McNaughton is a recently retired competitive strongman from Northern Ireland who has spent the last few years working in mental health, talking at primary schools, universities and businesses around the globe. In addition to running his own gym, Chris has been championing LGBTI health and mental health awareness in Northern Ireland, as well as filming and directing a documentary about his own mental health journey. It's called Bear Strong. And here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
You know, for me, the past 4 years has just been madness with so many amazing moments. And it's the furthest thing from the norm. Like, I know that, and I'm sort of glad that I am the furthest thing from the norm. Regards, you know, being from Northern Ireland, being from the town I'm in, there's not too many gay strongmen that end up going on MTV and doing all the things that I've done over the past 4 years. Is just definitely not the normal, you know.
Now, the topics covered tonight may raise issues. And if you feel like you or someone you know needs help and you want to talk to someone, there are resources on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au/support.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
Chris McNaughton doesn't look like your average guy, having trained and competed in strongman competitions for 12 years, and for the last four of those as an openly gay man. In a typical strongman competition, there's four or five events which combine lifting, pulling, carrying and running with various heavy objects. From the outside, the sport and the competitors can appear to be intimidating to your more average folk. To start off with, we asked Chris to tell us a little about himself and also about the sport that has meant so much to him.
I'm an international strongman competitor. I've competed for the last 12 years. And the start of this year, I actually retired, went into retirement after having 12 years in strongman. Really does feel like 30 years in any other sport. So I decided to retire this year to enjoy other things going on in life regards business, and I'm getting married this year, and just generally life's moving in a different direction. I'm sort of going with it type of thing. But I've competed in strongman. I have a brilliant career in strongman. Competed at Ireland's Strongest Man, UK Strongest Man, Britain's Strongest Man. But since the end, since the last 5 years, I became a mental health ambassador and LGBTQ ambassador through brand that I have, Bear Strong. And I guess stuff like that is what's helped me sort of move into retirement a wee bit more now, is that I really do enjoy doing all that. You know, I love traveling the world and doing seminars and talks, and to put all that time and effort and training into something different now.
Now, from the outside, the world of competitive strongman looks very masculine and the ultimate alpha male sport. What is it like, what is it like in reality?
I would say that that is, in a lot of points, that is the reality of it. You know, it definitely is a very masculine sport. It definitely is very alpha male. But at the same time, it's filled with the most nicest people you'll ever meet. During competition, that rivalry is very head-on. But the minute the competition's over, the friendships that are in it are just serious. Like, you know, like everybody is genuinely so nice to each other, wants to help and support each other. When you arrive to the show, you're sort of, you know, handshakes, hugs, haven't seen everybody in a while, and it's sort of like a get-together because, you know, like, say, Ireland's Strongest Man, we're all spread out all over Ireland. We only ever see each other whenever we compete. So whenever we get together, it's meeting friends again and getting them, you know, talk to people and how they've been getting on. And right up until you're competing, that's the way it goes. In between events, it's the same. Afterwards, you go out for a meal together. So, like, I guess whenever you would say that it'd be very masculine and alpha male, it maybe puts a stigma on it as to how it actually comes across. But you could be, I guess, you know, it can be that environment where it being an intimidated environment, if you know what I mean. Like, I wouldn't at all say that strongman's intimidating. Like, it's people have said to me before, like, you know, that you can be quite intimidating until you get to know you. I guess it's the same as the sport in the whole. You know, it could come across very intimidating, but actually whenever you're amongst it or you know more about the sport, you see that it's the complete and utter opposite.
You've spoken quite openly in some of your videos about coming out, and coming out can be often a difficult process. So how did you find it? And I'm sort of interested also how it played out in the competitive strongman arena, and what helps you through it?
Well, I came out whenever I was 27, so I had 8 years sort of competing in the sport up until that stage. There wasn't any warning signs, there wasn't any sort of heads up for anyone. Like, it was just, I got to the stage where I was, I got to the stage I felt that it was really affecting sort of my happiness, and for me to be happy, I needed to come out. And when I went through that thought process, like, what was most important for me was that my family and my friends were okay with it. After that, I didn't care, you know, because if you did live your life caring what people who aren't important to you think of you, you'd never achieve anything. Like, it's a mission impossible to go out there and to be successful in life when you care about what other people think. It's just not possible. So that's what was most important to me, is what my family and my friends and what they thought and how they would be about it. And second was, you know, that I didn't want it to be whispered about, or I didn't want it to be gossip. I didn't want it to be other people's gossip. You know, it was my story and I wanted to own it. And that's why I decided to do it so publicly, by doing the interviews and the video interviews and stuff like that there, and newspapers and stuff. You know, that's why I decided to go down that line, because if I was going to do it, I wanted to own it type of thing. I didn't want it to be, you know, somebody was whispering, here, did you hear about Chris McNaughton? He's came out as gay. I wanted people to turn around and go, yeah, I know. Sure, it was in the papers and it's all over his Instagram. My family were 100%. It's like everybody, when they come out, you know, I think too many people expect, you know, party poppers to go off and banners to come out and balloons be released from somewhere whenever they come out of the closet. And that's not the case, and it's not how it works. When you just tell somebody something that's totally, not life-changing, but it's totally different from how they've seen you their whole life, you just need to give them a wee bit of time to process that and sort of get their head around that. So when I told my family and friends, that's exactly what they got. They got a bit of a time. The sport of strongman, it was no issue there either. Like everybody was 110%. I think the first year that I went back, whenever I just came out, everybody was sort of scared to stay on their own thing and maybe walking on eggshells too much. Like, everybody was fully supportive, like, shook my hand, gave me a hug and congratulated me and commented on my bravery for being able to do it and stuff. But I think then I released the Bear Strong documentary and I let people sort of hear my story a bit more. And whenever I did that, then the next year, everybody sort of was the way I wanted them to be, you know, where they weren't treading on eggshells anymore. And I've always been, I hate this saying, but it'll probably help people, you know, a bit of a lad's lad type of thing, where I was always surrounded by groups of mates and stuff, and taking the piss out of each other, banter and crack is what, just how lads get on. And, you know, I guess for the first while of coming out, there was a big, there's a big sort of fuel there for them guys of something to take the piss out of, but nobody would because they were worried about upsetting or saying the wrong thing. And it was just, once it got to the stage where people were able to make jokes about it or take the piss about it, then it just felt far more comfortable being around people then, like, you know. But last thing I wanted was my mates to, you know, be worrying what they could or they couldn't say in front of me. And you know, I'm sitting giving them all the digs of the day and I wasn't getting anything in return. It's like, you got a big gay strong man here to take a piss out of. Like, that's a whole, that's so much fuel there to be able to attack back with. So bloody make the most out of it, you know. You know, it's not always like, you know, as I said before, I've been very, very lucky. I know a lot of people out there have not been as lucky as I am, and my heart generally goes out to them. But it's not all dull and gloom and negativity about coming out. Like, sometimes people are genuinely so accepting of it. Obviously, sadly, a lot of times people you love and people who are close to you aren't.
From County Antrim in Northern Ireland and the town of Larne, that's Chris McNaughton on Joy 94.9. What a fascinating story. We always seem to uncover these very unlikely advocates for LGBTI, the LGBTI community.
Well, we're everywhere. We're just everywhere. It's quite interesting when we were talking to Chris about, you know, first impressions, and he even admits himself that he may appear to be intimidating, which is a big bloke. I mean, he's a seriously big bloke. But he says that inside the world of competitive strongmen, they're all best buddies, best friends. And it's nice to hear that they were so supportive to him as well when he came out.
And isn't that the way it should be? I mean, I think he came into that sort of process from the right space in thinking, look, you know, what's important to me is my friends and my family. Beyond that, I don't really care. So it sort of, I guess, prepared himself for what may or may not come. And in the end, those serious friendships that he mentioned from behind the scenes were the ones that carried through, and, you know, just his sexuality didn't become an issue.
It's interesting. I was just looking at about first impressions, and apparently you make them within under 30 seconds. You make your first impressions of somebody, and they're very difficult to change as well once you've made them.
Yeah, I remember one of my old employers saying you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Coming out is always, I find coming out is one of the great connectors for LGBTI people as well. Everybody has a story. It's their own story. And that sharing of those stories is actually really important for the LGBTI community. It's not just about your own journey, but that idea of, you know, sharing what has happened with others. It's kind of, it's freeing in a way, isn't it?
But do you think it's, when is society going to get to the point where we don't actually need to do it? But I think there will be at some point where you won't have to declare your sexuality, your gender. That's
true.
That's my hope anyway.
There's certainly pockets of the world where that's probably a little more likely, but even the telling of stories within the community is, even if they're positive and affirming stories, that's also a good thing.
And Chris definitely had a very positive story to tell, although he acknowledges that it's not always like that for everyone, unfortunately.
Very true indeed. Coming up, we find out more about Chris's own personal mental health journey. You're on World Wide Wave.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Even though we are currently broadcasting outside of these studios, you can still message us. We are always hanging out on Facebook. Go to World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook.
Mental health care organisations agree that LGBTI people may be more susceptible to mental health problems than heterosexual people due to factors such as the prejudice and discrimination suffered by so many. Chris McNaughton has had some low moments along his journey with his mental health, which he covers in his own documentary, Bear Strong. And we asked him why he decided to share this very personal story.
Initially, I was asked if I would share my story, and when I looked around me and seen what was happening in Northern Ireland, I thought it's worthwhile sharing this story to see if it would help people, and that's what it was initially about. Then when I did one interview, then somebody else asked for an interview, and somebody else asked for an interview, and it started building up and building up and building up. Then I got all this feedback back about how it's helped so many people. And it just sort of grew off of that. It became seminars, and it became workshops, you know, started going viral, started going worldwide, and sort of became bigger and bigger and bigger. And what fuels it all, like, is, you know, hearing people come to you and say to you how much it's helped them, and hearing what you've done for them, like getting that feedback that people actually telling you that you help save their life, like, you know, you help them find happiness again and stuff. Like, Jesus, if that doesn't get you out of your bed in the morning, like, I don't know what the hell would. It's hugely rewarding. Like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I don't get something out of that, because for me, that's just hugely motivating, like, you know, and it just drives you, you know, to keep working. And I've done a lot of talks and seminars and workshops, and now I've actually decided that all my talks is all about awareness and making people aware of my story and sort of showing people what you know can become. And what we're trying to focus on more now, but we originally started up the YouTube channel Bear Strong, and when we started that up, it was all talking about mental health and talking about mental health. And I said to my partner, I was like, this channel would depress the life out of you, because all you're talking about is depression and all. I was like, this is shit. Like, this isn't going to help anyone. So we tried a few things where we started, like, just genuinely making fun of YouTube videos and making, like, challenges and stuff. And, like, and I started to get a lot of messages from followers being like, it's so amazing to see you happy. It's so amazing to see the environment that you're in after coming out. It's so amazing to see your success and how well you're doing. And I was like, well, one of the main things is when you're struggling with mental health and your depression, or, if you are suicidal, is not being able to see a future. And, like, if people are able to see through my YouTube now, the life that I have now, the people I'm surrounded with now, the happy moments I have now, you know, the success that I've had in business and stuff and in sport, people are able to see that through my YouTube, but they also know my story of where I came from. Like, I think that's one of the biggest and best things that I could do regards mental health, is to keep trying to sort of inspire people that, you know, when you are that low, that you can, that you know of my story, but you also know where I am now. So it's always that, it's always sort of giving people that light at the end of the tunnel, if you know what I mean. You know, the feedback we've got from that and sort of changing it around that way, like, you know, has been massive for people. And
looking back on your own personal journey with mental health, have you been able to kind of identify what contributed to your anxiety and your depression?
There's a lot of factors. Like, I think not being out and open was obviously a huge part of it, but, you know, I still suffer with mental health today, and I'm out and I'm open today. So, like, maybe that's because of the knock-on effect of being and not open for so many years, but it's not there on its own. You know, growing up, I never had an easy time growing up, and I guess there's a lot of self-hate there regards body image and stuff, but there was a lot of probably self-hate too because I was gay. I genuinely would rather have been dead than be gay. And just the society that I lived in and the way it was perceived and thought of by everybody over here, there was never any positivity about being gay, like none at all. I can't even remember as a teenager seeing any of it on TV or anything like that there. It was sort of like gay people were used for entertainment, but after that, they were always talked down of. They were always belittled. They were always, you know, it was, you're here to entertain us, but we do not agree with what you do outside that. You know, we'll have a laugh and a giggle at your camp voice, but apart from that, that's it. So there was never any positivity or any positive aspects, or I guess there was never any, you know, inspiration from any sporting athletes, from any, you know, just anywhere in general. And in Northern Ireland, I swear down, I only really knew one guy from Northern Ireland as a teenager, and that was somebody who presented the TV show from Northern Ireland. So visually, there was no positive aspects to coming out or being gay, and knowing that that's who you were. Like, people ask me why mental health is so bad in the LGBTQ community, and the reason, in my mind, and this is just my opinion, that it is so bad is that, you know, and I think it will get better in years to come. That's one of the positive things about this, is that I think the more accepting that the world becomes of LGBTQ people, the better the mental health will get. And the reason I say that there is that, you know, I grew up, like many people, I grew up knowing my sexuality but could never voice it or never tell it or never be open. And when you're, I suppose this is a weird way of saying it, but it's true, when you're like behind enemy lines, you hear all the secrets, you hear all the gossip, and you hear all the talk of what people actually think of gay people. But that's who you are, and you're sitting hearing it on a daily basis, and you're constantly hearing it. Like, from a young age, for so many people in the same situation, that's mental trauma and mental abuse. You know, if you've done that with anyone, if you put somebody into a room and you sat and, you know, belittled them, and you told them that they were filth, you told them that they were evil, you told them they were going to hell, that they were going to jail, they should be beat up. And that's why I believe that the mental health within the LGBT community is so bad, because so many people have grew up that way, where they've grew up in like silence and grew up, you know, in secrecy of who they are. Mm-hmm. And have always heard themselves and their sexuality talked about in a negative way, belittled and brought down. It's a hard thing just to come out of the closet, and I hate using that word closet, but everybody gets what I mean. Coming out and being open about your sexuality, and then you can't expect for all that to disappear until you sit down and you process them and work your way through them. That side of things was a huge part of my mental health. The other side of it, I guess, is, you know, what I went through just in general, growing up and being overweight and just not having a good time, basically, and never dealing with all that there as well. I think it was really a mixture of the both, but I think low self-esteem, low confidence, and very little self-worth. You know, you put all them things together, and it's not long before, you know, you are in a deep situation.
Chris McNaughton, one of the very strongest men in all of Northern Ireland, with us on Joy 94.9. And as you heard from the interview, he has not only had his own mental health struggles, but has been willing to talk about them and share them with the world on his documentary, Bear Strong, which you can find on YouTube. And of course, we are tackling some difficult issues tonight. If they have raised any issues for you, there's lots of support organisations here in Australia who are ready to help you. Go to the Joy website, joy.org.au/support.
I mean, Chris makes a very obvious point that hadn't really occurred to me, which is dumbfounding, really, that all the discrimination that you suffer early on, be it at school or other places, is going to contribute to your mental health going forward. It's not like you can just switch it off when you come out.
Yeah, I mean, it has an impact. It's like, you know, if you had some negative experiences, you know, it's like a scar. If you have positive ones, then they're reaffirming. It's not surprising to me, but it's probably something we need to be reminded of, so that it's front of mind when people are dealing with these, you know, very personal issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, he does get very personal in his documentary. So if people are interested, as I said, it is on YouTube. Just look up Bear Strong. He actually has a channel. There are other videos on there that are more lighthearted and more entertaining.
I like that he also recognises that he's getting something out of this too, that when he gets people reaching out to him and saying and thanking him and saying him telling his story actually made a difference to their lives, that, you know, he values that and he gets something out of it as well.
And something that gets him out of bed. he talks about that this kind of feedback, this doesn't motivate you to do something, then what would?
In fact, we've got more from Chris coming up on Joy 94.9. We're going to be talking to him about body shaming within the LGBTI community. This is Worldwide Wave.
This is Samuel from Kenya on Worldwide Wave.
It's the show that takes you around the globe, one queer story at a time, Worldwide Wave. And a special hello to everyone listening to us on podcasts. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwide wave or on iTunes or whatever your favourite podcast platform happens to be. And don't forget to leave us a very glowing review.
We are in Northern Ireland tonight. Responses to surveys in the US indicate that 94% of teenage girls and nearly 65% of teen boys reported having been body shamed. However, it's not just teenagers that have to struggle with this, as UK-based LGBTI charity has warned that body image issues are becoming more widespread in LGBTI communities. We asked Chris about his experiences and his responses to body shaming.
It doesn't matter what community you're a part of, like, there's positives and there's negatives in every community. I think one of the biggest negatives that we have is body shaming. Something that I can't get the bloody head around, right? Because most people who are gay or lesbian will have been shamed by somebody in some way, shape, or walks of life. So why people decide to shame each other is beyond me. Like, but it's a thing I don't agree with, I don't like at all. You know, obviously being the size I am, you know, I've been invited to a lot of sort of muscle bars and bear bars and stuff like that. And I was a night out in a bar and there was two young lads were about to walk in and the doorman says, "Not tonight, lad." I went up the door and I was like, "Why did you turn him away for?" And he's like, "Mate, look at them, made to be here tonight." And I turned around and went home straight away. Well, not home, back to my hotel. And I was raging about it, like, I was genuinely raging. And I've turned down about probably half a dozen paid appearances since then. Because they haven't advertised it in the posters as being open to all men. You know, the hell with that. Like, it's just, in my mind, like, honestly, it's just, it's disgusting. Like, you know, even when I was straight, many of the nightclub I went to and the doorman turned me away just because it was too big. The thought that gay people are being turned away from gay nights because of their body shape, like, nah. Like, I had no time for that there. And, like, that's only one side of it. Like, I just, you know, femme shaming as well is something that really pisses me off. And a lot of people try to get the whole, to get out of it by saying, yeah, but that's not my type, that's not what I'm attracted to. And it's like, well, you still be fucking friends with them. Like, you don't have to sleep with everybody that you talk to in the gay community. You know, you can still have friends. Like, I have loads of friends that are really feminine, like tons of friends that are really feminine. I have tons of friends that are like, as camp as Christmas. To be honest, it says a lot more about the people who shame, you know, people who shame people because of their body image, people who shame people because of their femme or their camp or whatever. It's not about the person, it's about them. Do you know what I mean? Like people, the big guy shames somebody because they've got abs. It's because the big guy doesn't like the fact he's got a gut. It's never to do with the person. And any aspect of bullying, you'll find that that's where it lies. It's never to do with that there's something wrong with the person that's being bullied. It's always to do, the problem always lies with them who do bully. I do, like, I would find people stereotype me quite a bit. There has been people who just assume that I go into the same sort of, you know, mindset as everybody else, you know, regards that you know, I do take great pleasure at sort of putting people right and being like, you know, and opening their eyes up to who they actually are by treating people that way.
And also on that stereotyping, do you find that people expect you to be attracted to a particular type?
There just seems to be so many things you're sort of tagged with when the community, and it's something that, you know, I don't like. Like, you know, like, because my partner's black, you know, when I started to see my partner, like, you know, a lot of people was like, oh, so you're in the black guys. It's like, no, I'm in the good-looking guys, and he's really good-looking. Like, you know, class with. That's all that was in it. It wouldn't matter if he black or white or what he was. Like, he's stunning looking, so he's stunning looking, you know. And you're very quickly sort of put into these categories, and these tags are sort of put on you. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people expecting me to be into like guys like me, guys who are big and muscular. And to be honest, it's not for me at all. You love who you love, like, you know what I mean? And like, me and John couldn't be further apart. Like, you know, we're absolute, I think in every shape and form, personality and looks, he's totally different from me. But hand on my heart, like, I wouldn't change a single part of him. Like, you know, I love him the absolute bits. But I think that one of the quickest things to put me off people in the community is when they jump on tags. When I hear somebody getting on like that, I'm just like, right, we're done now. I've seen it so much in life. Like, I've seen it so much with anti-bullying work, and I've seen it so much just general in life, that the people who go on that way, it's their issue. You know, it's not the issue of the person that they're attacking. It's 100% their issue. And
thank you, Chris, for your time.
No bother at all, guys. I hope it puts together a good program for you.
Thank you to Chris for his time and for talking to us. Now, some of the topics that we've covered tonight may have raised issues. And if you feel like you need to talk to someone, there are resources on the JOY website. That's joy.org.au/support.
Now, there are sports and there are sports when it comes to being out in sport. There are sports where it is quite acceptable. We spoke to the Kiwi rower earlier this year, who was very much accepted within the female rowing community in New Zealand and internationally. I don't know, strongman, it has actually surprised me a bit that he has found so much acceptance in what is a hyper masculine sport.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite surprising, really, that they are. I think it goes back to one of our first points, you know, like first impressions. They may shout, grunt and scream when they're competing, but when you take them away from there, they're, you know, the best of mates. Maybe it's that competing thing that then they bond through the competing.
Yeah, but I mean, I also remember chatting to other elite athletes who haven't come out until after they've retired. Mm. You know, when you probe them on that, they really kind of say, well, you know, all my life has been building up to being the best in this field, being an elite sports person, and nothing, they want nothing that will put it at risk. So dealing with their sexuality is just one of many things that they sort of push to the side in trying to be the, you know, the number one in their sport.
I think Chris made the point that he had to do it for his own mental health, really. It was having negative effects on him, so keeping it a secret, trying to portray an image that wasn't true was not helpful for him.
How do we go about getting more out role models in sport while they're still playing sport rather than when they retire?
It's difficult because, like you said, there are some sports, women's AFL, it seems to be very acceptable for lesbians to be part of that. It does seem to be more acceptable in women's sports. I don't want to be accused of gender bias, but it does seem to be a male hang-up that they can't come out. Yet they can in probably one of the most masculine alpha male sports possible. Someone did come out and was quite... And in fact, I think he mentions in the longer interview that there is another one. There's another gay strongman, and I've heard of another one in the US. So there are competitive gay strongmen.
Yeah, it surprises me. I think it's fantastic. Yeah, we'll support it where we can. We did talk a bit about body shaming as well. It is something that is very common, far too common in the LGBTI community. How did we get ourselves into this position?
Well, I think one of the things is social media that has played into this or has contributed to this.
But it happened even before that. I mean, the whole chiseled, you know, body image type thing that you're meant to attain. And, you know, 99% of the people within the community don't have that.
No. I was reading before the show, one of the gay magazines in the UK, they had Stephen Fry on the front of it, well-known celebrity, famous. It was the worst-selling edition of the magazine they've ever had. Previously, they've had models on the front of it, and they didn't know. They wondered if it was just that the people that buy that magazine are buying it because it's got the good-looking people on the front.
I don't know how you change that. Are we that narrow and vain? And maybe the answer is yes, scarily.
But Chris was talking about a situation, which I assume was, you know, probably a bear bar or something like that, and two guys were turned away because they didn't fit the bear category. You know, they were too slim, too young, or whatever. So shaming isn't just about you haven't got the abs, you haven't got the biceps. Mm. It's you haven't got the fur, you haven't got the big belly, or whatever is the thing that categorizes that particular
grouping. Yeah, within the LGBTI community, there is a lot of poor levels of acceptance in many ways. And, you know, trans people are another issue where there are many documented cases of trans people being discriminated against from within our own community. We, as a community, we have a whole lot, a long way to go.
This is Otan Batar from LGBT Center of Mongolia, and I'm happy to be on Worldwide Wave.
A huge thank you to our guest tonight, Chris McNaughton from Northern Ireland. His documentary is called The Bear Strong. It's available on YouTube or go to bearstrong.co.uk.
Messages, we would like to say a big thank you to Nicole, Anastasia, Rex, Trent, Kylie, and a heap more. I wonder if that's Kylie M. Anyway, a heap more who have joined or interacted with us on Facebook over the past week. Now that's Worldwide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook. And behind the scenes, our podcaster Peter and our social media master Dean. Thank you very much.
And as it is our final show for the year, a big thank you to you, our listeners, both listening on Joy 94.9 and via podcast. We have loved being with you all year and bringing you stories of the LGBT community around the globe. And guess what? We will be back next year to do it all again. A huge thank you to the Joy team, who have broadcast under some extraordinary circumstances this past COVID year. And we look forward to getting back into the brand new studios at Australia's first Pride Centre early in the new year. We'll see you in 2021.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.